As we did last week, we are sharing some of the teachings Brother Theodore has been sharing during the crusade. Because many of us don't follow. And then when a leader shares, if you are leading a house church and you come to the meeting here, when you go back, you bring the message to the level of your house church members. So by looking at the message, trying to bring it to the level that we can get as Kampala people, as Uganda people, we shall look at one of the messages that he shared day before yesterday, bringing glory to God by completing the task God gives you. Bringing glory to God by completing the task God gives you. That's the topic of, at least in summarizing it. It is still in disciple making. John chapter 17. John chapter 17, read for us. Verse 1 to 5, then verse 10. John chapter 17, verse 1 to 5, yes, Moses, then verse 10.
John chapter 17.
Everybody open there because we are just revising a message.
John chapter 17, verse 1, 5, and it reads, after Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he may give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began.
Then,
all I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them.
Hallelujah. That's the Lord Jesus. Jesus said, let's look, don't look at verse 4. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Then in verse 10 he says, and glory has come to me through them. So the Lord Jesus brought glory to the Father. And glory was brought to his Father. Honor was brought to his Father by completing the work that his Father gave him to do. You bring glory to God by doing the work that God gave you to do and completing it. When God gives you a task to carry out and you don't labor to complete it, you disgrace God, you insult God, you bring shame to God. When God calls a man, and for the Lord Jesus Christ, his task was very clear. Very, very clear. And he was able to say, I have completed it. And because I have completed it, I bring glory to you. The assignment God has given to you, you can use it to honor God. Every assignment God gives to any man is God honors you by giving to you a task. God honors us by giving to us a task. You are honored by God when God gives you whatever He gives you to do for Him. It is great honor. It is great promotion. It is a great opportunity that you can ever have. The appointment of God is honor. The work of God handed over to you, the assignment God has given to you, is God honoring you. So God opened His heart, then God trusts you, and God gives you something to carry out for Him, something to do for Him. The opportunity to serve the King of Kings. The opportunity to be a minister in the parliament, in the government of the Most High God. The opportunity to be an ambassador of the Most High God. The opportunity to serve the Most High God. The opportunity to have something to do for Him that dwells in light unapproachable. To be able to enter the presence of Him before whom angels hide their faces. To be able to call for Him that rules the universe. To be able to go and tell somebody, the Lord sent me to tell you this. I'm the servant of the Most High God. I'm the representative of the Most High God. I'm the mouth of God in this town, in this nation. God calls you to approach the presence of the King of Kings, to begin to lift up the names of men before God. He gives you a task, and having given you the task, you don't even see it as great honor. The greatest honor anybody can give. Look, brethren, what is happening in the nation. Everybody, people, if someone is called right now, that the president has appointed you, even just the RDC, deputy RDC. Everybody is so excited. Can you imagine? I have an opportunity. The president knows me. The president has appointed me. Appointed to be a minister in the government of a person. We are so excited, but appointed to be an ambassador, a representative of the law, not just in a place, but upon planet Earth. Men of God don't see it. Men of God don't see the promotion that comes when you say, I'm going for the Lord. Men of God don't see the promotion that comes when you say, I'm going to approach the presence of the Lord and listen to God, and He will speak to me. And when I come out, I will tell you what the Lord is saying. Men of God don't know it. That when the world is perishing, there's a group that can approach and enter the presence of the Almighty God to begin to talk to God on the behalf of the world. Men of God don't know it. That a town, a nation perishing, God can send you to that nation and go to that nation and bring an end to a curse that has ruled over a nation. Many of us are blind to the fact that when God calls you, God has honored you. When God calls you, God has honored you. When God calls you, God has honored you. see the privilege that the King of Kings, the one who owns the whole world, the one who lacks nothing, can turn to you and say, Ivan, give me 100,000 there. Give me this. Men of all don't see it. That when God tends to use what you have, that's the greatest honor. When Jesus rode on the back of the donkey, Jerusalem, all the city of Jerusalem, gave way to the donkey. People placed their clothes on the way, and the donkey walked on it. True or false? People were guarding, placing. The donkey was honored because Jesus was on the back of the donkey. Your honor comes based on who is riding you, who is using you, who has sent you, who are you representing? Whom have you gone for? Have you ever seen it like that? Have you ever seen the greatest honor, brethren? The greatest honor, the greatest honor, the greatest honor. I don't know what happened to me. Nobody told me. But I consider everything, every service carried out for God, carried out for the people of God as the greatest honor. It is something that is not taught. It is something that is not taught. When God gives you a task, that is promotion. That is promotion. When God gives you something to do for Him, He has promoted you. He has promoted you. He has promoted you. You have promotion. When God looks at you and finally gives you something, an assignment, and say, carry this out. Come on, way of life. Lest you perish. Have you ever considered it as the greatest honor? One, to believe in the Lord. Have you ever considered it to belong to the Lord? To be called a child of God. To be called a servant of God. Why do we throw away honor given by God and start looking for honor given by men? That's blindness. That is the curse of many believers. One of the curses of the believer is that they don't see greatness. They are blind to greatness. They don't see opportunities. So that at his place of work, if they tell him, today, you are the sales manager. Who is the sales manager in the company? You are the one who won't have any money for him. Even if somebody has met his shoes in his bedroom and call her and say, you are the manager of this my company. He's so excited and they give you a badge. Sales manager. She's so excited, but does not see the task that God has given to her as the greatest honor. And upon that task, everything tithes. God honors you to give you an assignment. God honors you to give you work to do for you. Every assignment from God, it's God honoring man. Every assignment from God. I pray that your eyes will be open. It will change you. Every opportunity to do anything for God, is a great honor. Every opportunity to give anything to God is great honor. How many of us see it that way? If we saw it that way, we'll be different. We'll be different. If we saw it that way, it would be different. If you saw it that just cleaning the toilet for the people of God to use is great honor, your life will change. If you saw it that just coming here to clean this place so that God may enter his dwelling place, because God does not dwell in a dirty place, you will be different. If you saw it that when the people of God are gathered, the children of God are gathered, the person who is able to give them food has been greatly honored. If you saw it that way, your life will be different. Every assignment from God is God honoring man. Every assignment from God is God honoring man. Every task God gives us, we don't do it to be promoted. It is honor itself. It is promotion itself. That's why you hear in Museveni government, honorable this. It is an honor to be a minister in the government of God. It is an honor to be a caretaker of God's people. It is an honor. It is an honor to be a shepherd of God's people. It is an honor to cook for God's people. It is an honor to just stand in front here to minister to God's people. It is an honor to kneel down on your knee and begin to talk to God on the behalf of his people. I want two people to pray that our eyes will be open to see this. It is this blindness that makes people, God gives people something to do for him, something to do for his people, then they abandon it. They abandon it. They handle it so lightly because they don't know God. They don't know the greatest thing that can ever happen to a man is when God gives you an assignment to do for him. From that moment, you are called the servant of the Most High God. The servant of God. Serving God. And that servant of God has access into the presence of God to discuss with God about the task he is carrying out. Can two people pray that the veil will fall? The veil will fall. The veil will fall. So that you stop treating the assignment God has given to you with contempt, with spite. The way you handle serving, service, tells you how you value God. You can know whether you respect the person or not by how you handle the task the person has given to you. You can know a man's relationship with God by just looking at how you serve God. Some forget. Some are too busy for it. When you are too busy for God, it is because you have no value for God. You despise God in your heart. Too busy for the interest of God. Too busy for the task that God has specifically spoken to you about. Too busy to have time, even with God. But not too busy to have time with others. Your attitude to service exposes your relationship with God. If I say, Claire, go and bring me water. Let me finish writing what I'm writing. I'll go and bring you water. God does not give us things to do for Him because He cannot do it. It's not because He cannot do it. The one who spoke out and everything came into being can also take 1 minute and send out the word, and the whole world can get saved. He gives us work because He honors us. God does not ask us to give Him money, to give things to Him, because He lacks anything. He accepts and requests from us to honor us so that we may have a means to build even a relationship with Him. Because in our giving, we build relationship with Him. And in doing things for Him, we build relationship with Him. God creates space around Himself so that man can come close. And one of the ways you come close to God is through service. One of the ways you come closer to God is through giving to Him. God creates a need. Not because He needs anything to accommodate us. He can do it. He has it. He has all His needs. Yet, He creates a need. To give you a place, to give you a seat in His cabinet, out of honor. If you know, many years back, how many cabinet ministers Uganda had? The reason is always increasing. Some of them don't meet. You hear a minister with that portfolio, right? Minister of special duties. Minister for all sorts of things, trying to create and give some people a seat. But I'm not a minister without it. I am a minister with a special place. I don't know whether you know who God is. That's where the blindness is. So God says, who will go for us to this town? And there are number 1,001 people who are excited. Some say, no, you see, my job. If I go, what happened to my job? Good job. Can you imagine that a street vendor being appointed in the cabinet of the president? And the president calls you, Collins, are you Kaoya Collins? Yes. I've appointed you a minister in charge of foreign affairs. He said, I'm going to have my brother. What will happen to you? Why are you so black? Why are we so mean? Why are you so, where did this class from? Who has bewitched us? Paul had to cry out to the Galatian brethren, who has bewitched you? And he said, let me think about it. I'll call you tomorrow to let you know whether. He said, what? No, he said, I bought some grammars. I want to, I'm frightened, I need to complete 7 years. And see how much profit you will make. Then I will call you to know whether I have accepted your post. I was reading the paper yesterday, somewhere near Bosnia, where they discovered some gold. People are abandoned. So they say one taxi man came when he unpacked his taxi. Another one, apart whatever you were doing, and they all rushed there because gold has been found. Whatever job you were doing, you abandoned because there is gold. When God calls, if you don't see that it's an opportunity, you are blind. May God deliver you from that blindness.
So, a task given to you, God honors men by giving them what to do for him. Mama Shani, have you heard? Huh? Have you heard? Let me repeat it again, because you were in limbo when I was talking.
God honors you by giving you something to do for him. God honors you. When God honors a man, God gives you something. And that may not be the house church he has brought to your home. The greatest honor. That's like over a door. Very soon, the whole place has changed because the people of God will have to live in your house.
Amen. Many of us don't see it. How do you reciprocate the honor God has given to you? Jesus made it clear in verse 4. He made it clear, very clear in verse 4. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. When God honors you by giving you work, you honor God by doing the work and completing it. When God honors you by giving you something to do for him, you honor him by doing the work, concentrating on the work, and completing it. When God promotes a man by giving to you work to do for him, you honor God by concentrating on the work, by pressing on and presenting the work to God, and say, Lord, I have completed the work you gave me to do, and therefore I have brought you glory. Brother Sam used to say, the reward for work well done is more work. And then God will give you more work. Why is it that some people in the house of God, they have nothing they are doing? But there are some people whose hands are full. They did the work so well, and then they gave them more. They did so well, they gave them more so well. Why is it that it is always some few people? Go and do this. Emma, go and do this. After you come, Emma, go and do this. And then you just sit near. Hey, Emma, may God encourage you. Emma, may God strengthen you. Immediately, Emma, come and please. Emma, can you also rush, go and do this? Hey, Emma, can you go and do this? Ah, Emma. You bless him. Eh? You don't need blessings. Only Emma should be blessed. You have died. You don't know that you have been abandoned. You don't know that you are even useless. Because whatever is not doing you is useless. True or false? What, whoever is not doing you, I want all these, my daughters, all these children, get it. If your parents are not using you, you are useless. When you find your father, Go to the kitchen with his maid and start roasting it, and you are sitting. Hey, say, daddy, you also know how to roast maids, eh? Daddy is roasting his maid because if he gives you, you'll be there on your WhatsApp and the maids will get burnt. And then, hey, daddy, I forgot. After all, like one brother who used to be in church here, the father, they had boiled the father's water. And he took it to bed. And when the father rebuked him, he told the father, it is one of the problems I went to solve in your home. He told the father, I will take it to the elders. I'm not joking. When I went, I said, what is the problem? The father said, can you imagine the water they put for me to put to bed with? He took and used it. And when I was rebuking him, he told me, you are going to grace it to me, I will take you to the LC. You know, once I always taking our parents to the LC. In your heart, there's an LC on your heart. You have already classified your father. Look at him from the up and face. This old man, they don't know that we need our time, our friends. Some of those your friends are demons on the internet. There was a young man
He had a friend he was dating on the internet. Both of them were like, oh, and my daddy, they were after dating, almost to the point of marriage. You may ask, yes, I know people who dated and got married from the internet. You remember that? I hope none of you is trying that. This one is right here, my daddy, my dear. Only to later on to discover that, hey, he was a boy. But he was not a homosexual. He was deceiving women. Deceiving women, sending pictures. He would say, hey, send this one. Would you get the best kiss? I just said, that was just say, I should be. My basic wishes come from China. I am writing one of the tracks they requested me to write with effort, and it's God, Pornography, and You. Then God, Social Media, and You. I'm writing three tracks now. Jesus was a refugee. Because we have around 100 million refugees worldwide. We're writing a track to minister to them. They were writing a track on pornography. Because you will be shocked how many believers. I just pray that none of you here is in that class. Where that thing will become a phone and become a sex toy every night. You just know which side they appear. You have 15 vampires of naked women, naked men, naked toys, naked this, demons.
You are so busy with your friend. They don't want us to visit our friends. They don't want us to talk to our friends. If your father cannot send you, God cannot send you. One of the ways to know whether you are even serving God, who in your life are you truly serving? Who can pick the phone at midnight? And just say, Elizabeth, rush here. Even in the church here, it's only once in a while. You say, hey, so this brother is still alive. Hey, he just appeared once in a while. Oh, this is brother this. Okay, thank God, he's still fine. So unavailable to the interest of God, but so available to the world. So available to the world, unavailable to that which concerns God, unavailable to that which concerns God, because you don't love God. To the people of God, you are not available, but to the people of the world, you are available. When God honors you, reciprocate it by honoring God, and we honor God by concentrating on whatever little task you have been given. Whatever little task you have been given, you concentrate on it, you concentrate on it, you concentrate on it, and complete it. And tell God, no, I have completed the task you gave me to do, and therefore I've brought you glory. I have brought you glory. We honor God by completing the assignment God gives us. Are we together? God honors us by doing what? God honors us by? And therefore, if you are not even being given a task, if Hillary is here at his age, and I tell Brother Marcus,
carrying rush and bring me something. After Papa was carrying rush, you don't ask yourself, why are they jumping me? Because of how you handled the last task that was given to you. How you handled the last task that was given to you. When we were in Bulu, creating the corporate investing site, somebody there in the neighborhood.
He told me, Pastor, I'm a driver. Please, when you people start employing me. Then very soon, somebody told me, this one was employed. He was a driver, and he drove somebody's car, and went and parked the person's car on the road somewhere, and called the person and said, your car is here, and the key is here. You come and pick it, and left the car and the key there. He described to the man where the key is. He described to the man, your car is near this roundabout. Please, just behind this tree. The bunch of keys there. Come and pick your car. And he wants us in Conquest University to also make him a driver. Our driver, who may one day carry children exam, children certificate, and come on the road and tell that no. And when I reach the location, you have the car is there, Karuma. You know Karuma, I want to pick the car.
Every task you carry out, you prepare yourself for the next. You don't complete the task God has given to you, you disqualify yourself from ever being given another task by God. If any man knows that you were given a task to carry out for the people of God and you rejected it, you carry it out lightheartedly, that person who is giving you another task is wicked. Would that you repenting? Cry out, I am sorry that I wasted my opportunity. Will you not give me another opportunity? Oh God, give me another opportunity. I have changed. I was foolish. You kept this, he abandoned it. Kept this, he abandoned. Kept this, he abandoned. Then you want to give the fifth one, God will judge you.
God honors us by giving us a task. Then we honor God by doing what? Completing the task. Completing the task. Completing the task. How does God give you a task? God gives you a task through a man. God, we are just waiting for the day to pop! Jonah! Go to Nineveh. It's just when I mention your name that I remember your Jonathan. Yeah, Jonathan. We're together. When we are done that, remember what I said? God tell you, Jonathan. Their daughter speaks too much. See, but they don't have that on the way. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
If I knew you were there, if the name had come, I would not even have used that.
I was repeating at the office. You have a task for God, and soon you forget it. When God gives you a task, whatever task man has given you, you can second. Getting ready, and that is about to most people.
When God gives you a task, all other tasks men have given, tell them to wait. I have a calling from God. I have a calling. The King of Kings has given to me a task. I have a task from the great King. Now you remember that. It was a poem, right? I have a task from the great King. Oh,
what was it? The next thing?
To know
normal, oh, too normal for mortal like us. It was a point that we're having a meeting somewhere in Nairobi. I made a point to change it. All the terms from the great king to normal for mortals like us. When I was reflecting about my life when I wrote it. The tax from the great king, too noble for mortals like us. How can the great king call? What, Tony? The great king, the king of kings, calls you to be part of his cabinet to take it lightly. Say, God, let me go and think about it. When God says, I call you to do this, you say, let me go and pray. I know whether I should do it or not. And you think that for every assignment, I will never forget it is one brother, Kalinakita, who prayed that prayer. Oh God, cause me to see that when you call me to do something, there are 7,000 people waiting to do the same thing on the waiting list. 7,000 people, brethren, on the waiting list. 7,000 people. Let me ask you a question. Right? If they just put advertise a job now we need the chief messenger, the chief security man for the Bank of Uganda, any Ugandan can apply. How many applications will come in? Just imagine. You go all over and say the Bank of Uganda need a chief security. Forget the chief security, the chief get man. The chief get man, how many people apply? Let me tell you, more than 1 million people apply. Actually, if you tell them your application fee is 55,000, you will have enough money to pay the man who will be employed all his life. That's the truth. Because 1 million people may apply. You will see somebody with high certificates. We say, no, we don't want the good people. We say, no, I'm peaceful enough. And then 1 million times 5,000, that is 5 billion. 5 billion. But, just ask. We need someone who will be the chief security man in charge of God's building, who will apply. Even here, we need brethren, someone who will be in charge of our gate. Me? Okay, get man. Get man. How can I be a get man? You will go to be a get man in a restaurant, but you don't want to be a get man in the house of God. It is called blindness. Let's look at the third thing, is in verse 10. So God gives me a work. It's an indication that God honors me, right? Then I do the work and complete it. It's an indication that I do what to God? I honor God. God gives me glory by giving him work to do for God. Then I give God glory by carrying out the work and completing it. And then when I do that, there are people who are watching. Verse 10. All I have is yours. And all you have is mine. All glory has come to me through them. So the disciple of Jesus, the people he produced, the way he handled his father, brought glory to his father. Other people brought glory to him. What you plant, you will harvest. I have seen brethren. In one meeting, I told people, I just asked a question. I said, supposing you became the leader of CMFI, Uganda, how much money, what percentage of your income will you start giving to God? I was sure one brother said 80%. How many times will you fast? One said he will fast about 4-5 times a week. So he does not want to do it because he is not a leader. He does not even want to give his time because he is not a leader. Because the honor will go to another person. But he does not know that what you plant in the life of another person is what you will harvest. By bringing honor to his father, honor came to Jesus.
That's what the making of disciples is. By the way you handle your father, the work of your father will equally determine how other people will handle the same work and will handle their own relationship with you. Some are waiting to go to the mission field and immediately arrive in the mission field. Pop, pop, pop. Soon will just be coming. People will just be believing. When they will open their mouth, they just think they open their mouth and say, pop, people will gather. And in the church where they are, they don't want to open their mouth and do the same. Some are waiting to be leaders at the forefront of a work before they begin to do certain things, but they don't know that by doing it behind someone, very soon multitude will do it behind you. What you plant, you will harvest. So what a man plants, you will harvest. People will treat you the way you have treated another person. People will treat the work in your hand the way you have treated the work in another person's hand. Don't be worried. Leaders are not there forever. You see, whether we like it or not, a day is coming when our president will no longer be president. Some of the noisemakers around will become president. What they have planted, they will harvest. True or false? Watch out. Watch out. Your prayer for another person will determine the prayer that will be made for you. You are giving to the work that someone is directly at the forefront will equally determine what will happen when you are equally at the forefront. As far as you give yourself to project your own name, your name will never be projected. Give yourself to bring honor to another person. I see many of you are leading house churches. The number of you are leading house churches. How wish I could visit all the house churches to know whether you are projecting our vision in your house church. To know whether you even care about where we are moving in your house church. To know whether even the people you are building in your house church even know who their leader is. I attended a meeting somewhere. I'm the leader of the work. Sat in that meeting. The brother never said, our leader will say something to us. I sat as a member. You take your grave by not lifting up someone. They are also specialized always in trying to talk about leadership. They don't know that they are digging their own grave. By talking against leadership, talking against your own leader, you are training people to talk against you also.
Your disloyalty is a school. It's a training ground to prepare people who will be disloyal to you tomorrow. When you gather a team to stand behind a leader, you have gathered a team that will stand against you, behind you. You have trained people how to stand with you.
John chapter 17. Sorry. No, John chapter 7. From verse 16 to 18. Moses, read for us.
John chapter 7, from verse 16. And it reads, Jesus answered, "My teaching is not my own. It comes from him who sent me. If anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. He who speaks on his own does so to gain honor for himself. But he who works for the honor of the one who sent him is a man of truth."
Yes. And part another version says a man of integrity. A man of integrity. I want us to look at that verse a bit, those verses. My teaching is not my own. It comes from the one who sent me. Have you ever asked yourself who sent you? Have you ever asked yourself who sent you? When you have your own teachings, you have gone astray. You should always ask, who sent me? I am representing who here. In this house, I am representing who? In this local, I'm representing who? I'm trying to represent who? Who sent me? I am here under whose authority? We want to fabricate all our teachings as a proof that no one sent us and as a proof that nobody is backing us. Jesus said, "My teaching is not my own." How can the Son of God, God Himself, say, "My teaching is not my own"? My teaching, I teach the teaching of the one who sent me. Verse 17 says, "If anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. If anyone wants to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or just from somewhere else." Not many people care to know whether messages that are being sent out is even of God, because they don't care about God's will. The teaching is wrong, the teaching is this, the teaching is this. Why don't you even take time to ask, is this word of God? Jesus said, "He who speaks on his own does so to gain honor for himself." There are many who want to get honor for themselves. There are many who want to get honor for themselves. But he who works for the honor of the one who sent him is a man of integrity. He who works for the honor of the one who sent him. He works for the honor of the one who sent him. We work for the honor of the one who sent us. We work for the honor of the one who sent us. That's what integrity is. Integrity, truth, is working for the honor of the one who sent us.
I asked somebody yesterday, do you belong to the same paper? Do you belong to the same paper? You see somebody's meditation? The last meditation was in June. Then you jump in November, 3 more meditations. You cannot be in a ministry. What that ministry values is what you are rejecting, what you are resisting. They will send you. Then you will be a leader to lead what? You cannot be in a ministry and that which everybody, we may not have arrived. The one thing that characterizes us is the one thing we are fighting. It is always because we don't belong. A person should say, this I believe, but I'm not yet doing it. Therefore, I'm trying my best to do it. We labor to become what we represent. Have you people understood? Don't fight something because you are not yet able to do it. You are not yet doing it like others. Tell yourself that is my goal. And don't fight a person who is doing a thing because you are not doing it like that person. Tell yourself that is my goal. That's my goal. I'm laboring to do it. We are striving towards perfection. So there is a work. He who works for the honor, working for the honor of another, in the making of disciples, we are trying to produce people who will embrace the work of God as honor given to them, and who will begin to labor no longer for themselves, but they will begin to labor for another. In the making of disciples, that's what we do. In the make of disciples, we are laboring to bring everybody to that point that you not giving to God is the greatest honor. Going for God is the greatest honor. Being in the place of prayer is the greatest honor. Going as a missionary is the greatest honor. Being told, begin from today, your duty, Clara, is that you will be sweeping this. You say, what an honor. You will go home and tell your parents, please, let's celebrate. In church, they have given me a duty to begin to do for God. And when they ask, what is that duty? That duty is that they have said every week I will be cleaning the church. Can you imagine what a great honor? What a great honor. In the making of disciples, we bring people to right thinking, to right vision, to see God for who God is. To see that you have a relationship with God is the greatest thing that can ever happen to you. To serve God is the greatest thing that can ever happen to you. To give to God is the greatest thing that can ever happen to you. To be given anything to do for God is the greatest thing that can ever happen to you. We are trying to shape the thinking of people, the emotions of people, the spirit of people, to embrace God for who He is, embrace the service of God for who He is, for what it is, embrace the values of God for what it is, so that we are not just people who think that we serve God at part-time, or part-time, or past-time. We just go, no, it is easy, it is a prayer. We can go anytime. We don't go anytime. We don't go anytime. We don't go to preach anytime. It's the priority. Disciples are shaped to put the interest of God as a priority and put their relationship with God as a priority. Put praying for God as a priority. Listen, brother. How about you know, this moment, Church of Christ on Latter Day Saints. If you know them, you know them. You normally see them with baptism, isn't it?
At the age of 18, 19, maximum 20, if you are in any school, in any institution, if you are a true Mormon, it's a dead year. You will give 1 year and they will send you anywhere in any part of the world. And they normally send out missionary, 300 of them at a time.
If you are second year at the university, that year will be third year for you.
So, see, brethren, can you give some 1 week to go somewhere for God? You say, let me go and look at my schedule.
Look, who's schedule? So that the angel of God can speak into your schedule. Our schedule from the moment we encounter God and become disciples of the Lord, our schedule comes to an end. We have no schedule. Our schedule is God. We live for God. Let me look at my budget, whether there is some loose coins to give to this beggar God, who is always talking of some projects. Our project becomes God. We have one project, God. One purpose, God. Our interest, God. One vision, God. We live for God. When a man has been brought to this point, where the interest of God takes the priority on his heart, he has been trained to be a disciple of the Lord. And to do that, yes, people see it through you. That's why, for some of the brethren who have been in the church for some time, the worst thing that can ever happen to the younger generation, younger people who are coming in, is when they come and they don't see you prioritizing the interest of God. You preach another message that will make disciples for the world, for the devil. But when they see people who are putting the interest of God at the forefront, priority one, priority one, priority one, we don't need to preach a message. The life of the saint becomes a message. They are disciple makers. That's why the Lord Jesus brought glory to the Father, right? And then the disciple brought glory to Jesus. They have produced disciples.
So, but he who works for the honor of the one who sent him is a man of truth. You are leading the house church. As yourself, you are working for whose honor? You have your doctrine to preach. You have your own message to preach. You have been waiting for another message to preach. You have another vision. When you have a vision that is different from the vision of the body, the vision of the local church, the vision of the ministry, you are a crook, you are a fraud. You are a wrong person. We ask, what is the body pursuing? And from what the body is pursuing, we make our goal. We fit into the direction. So appointment is an honor. And Jesus saw his assigned task as honor given to him. And he used his assigned task to bring honor to God, to the Father, by completing the work. When true disciples have been produced, every assignment is seen as great joy, great privilege, great opportunity. Have you been brought to that point? The book of Matthew 11. Matthew chapter 11. Somebody read again verse 28 and 29. To 30, verse 28 to 30.
Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30, and it reads, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. And you'll find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light."
Yes. You come to him because you are what? You are weary, you are burdened, you are laden. You come to him. But when you come to him,
He said something. Verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. If you know what a yoke is, you don't put a yoke on the neck of oxen for nothing. You come to him to take his yoke and walk for him. And in walking for him, then you learn from him to put on his character. He said, my yoke is easy. My yoke is light. Come, take my yoke, take my yoke, take my yoke. When the work of God is a burden to you, there's something wrong in your relationship with God.
When the work of God is not being taken as great joy, so you don't care. Is this week that God spoke to me? God spoke to me, first of all, one, that when he has work to do, it is a burden on his heart. Just like in the place of prayer. Prayer originates from the heart of God because God has word and God took that word from your heart. From the moment God took the word on your heart, it should no longer be a word in God's heart. Because you are lifting it to him, lifting it to him. When it is on God's heart, it is a burden. When God puts on your heart, it's not only a burden on his heart. It becomes something that you will do it. Because you pray it back to him. God spoke to me. He said, when he has something to be done, it is a burden weighing on his heart. When he hands it over to me, he has made it my burden. To labor to see it accomplished. And he told me, if he needs to remind me about it, if he needs to encourage me about it, if he needs to send any leader to begin to challenge me to do what he put on my heart, he handed over to me, then I made him to become a burden to me. Have you understood? Get this very well. Because it has two ways, two parts. God has something that is weighing on his heart. The salvation of someone, right? Then God takes it and puts on my heart. So that I do everything to get the person saved. Are we together? Then God has discharged a burden. But if God continues to follow me with a whip, to threaten me, well, have you done it? Have you done it? Then God is making himself a burden to me. He will break my relationship with God. I will hate God. The same thing in human relationships. If I hand over something to brother Peter to do in my relationship with him, and I love him, we believe ourselves, he loves me, and I hand over something to him to do. I have discharged a burden that was on my heart. Okay? But if all the time I stand running, Prophet, have you done it? Prophet, have you done it? I make myself to be a burden to him. He will destroy our relationship. Have you understood?
Yes.
Therefore, if he does not do it, I should never remind him about it. He doesn't love me. He doesn't care about me. He doesn't know that there was a weight on my heart and I gave him. And that weight handed over to him, I should consider it a forfeit because of my personal relationship with him. Have you understood? Because if all the time I come to a meeting, Evans, all the time Evans, Evans, you got this with you for God. But you got it after a time. Even if I open my mouth, I want to call evangelism. He said he wants to call him Evans. Then I become a burden to him. When you become a burden to a person, your relationship with that person will die. That's why many people's relationship with leadership will die. Because the leader continue reminding me, continue again, remember what you committed yourself. Yeah. Yes,
Even Jenny is coming for the meeting on the road there, immediately he remembers then he will come and she will come and sit at the distance. Immediately my message finishes, she jumps out. The relationship between her and me is dead because of work. When work is handed over to you, don't let the person who handed the work to you soon become the weight of your heart. Break relationship. Work is handed over to a person to build relationship and not to destroy relationship. Therefore, if you are a wise leader, remind a person twice, never remind a person again. You need to be true to all yourself. You can do that with children because you are training them. But I cannot do that. Shouldn't do that with colleagues. That's why if I tell you 1, 2, 3 about an issue, after a time, we will relate as if it does not exist, but it still exists. But I don't want to be a burden to you. I don't want to be a burden to you. We'll become brothers, but not co-workers. We'll become brothers, but not co-workers. And very soon, I will see another person who can carry this weight because you threw it back on me. The burden that went from my heart came back. And it came back with more weight. And what is the more weight? My co-worker was betraying me. What did I become? No. Let's serve the Lord. Let's consider a privilege to do something for God. Let's consider a privilege to go for God. Let's consider a privilege to give to God. For somebody to say, please, can you start praying for me in this area? Yesterday, we started praying for Asia because that's one of the words God gave us. I had not brought it up because we had so much that we're still handling. And we have not had people who can fit into this, a number of things. And there are people around that you can be given a heavy weight. 47 nations in Asia, with 4.6 billion people, that it is from Uganda that we have to pray the overflow. And we have not yet started handling it. Simply because look at this. Who is handling? Who is handling this? Who is handling this? Who is handling this? I reached a point and said, it must become a priority. And one of our priority number one, even if other things are not being handled. Don't betray the Lord by pushing back the weight God put on your heart. Accomplish it and bring him glory by saying, Lord, you gave me this to do it. Is it not well done? Is there something else I can do? After you have finished the work, come for more work. That is where a disciple of the Lord is. Let's stand up and pray. I have finished the work you gave me to do. Therefore, I bring you honor. I brought you glory by finishing the work. Why don't you just talk to God? Why don't you just talk to God? We're in an era of great opportunities where God is trusting his children and giving to them diverse things. Will his children honor him by setting out to do those things? Let's pray together. Talk to God for yourself. After that, we want 3 people to lift up your voice wherever you are and pray for all of us. Let's pray. Insist that your eyes will be open to see that assignment given to you by God is an honor, is an honor, is an honor. It is that which stirs you up to complete it. Pray that your eyes will be open. Pray. Pray that your attitude to the interest of God will change. That from today, what you will labor to finish whatever God gives you to do for him. And God gives you things to do for him through a man, through somebody, through a group of people. Let's pray together. Can 3 people pray?
Father, bless you, God, for your word. confess that I love you. I confess that I do your work with joy. I bless you, O God, for giving me a heart to love you. I bless you, O God, for giving me a heart to rejoice. I consider it a privilege to serve you, O God. But I have two needs, O God. I pray for strength to serve you, O God. Strength, O God. Strength in spite of my age, strength in spite of fasting. That I'll be strong. And I beg you, O God, for workers, co-workers, friends, who will see your work as I see it, who will stand with me and serve you with joy. That I pray that you change your hearts. That I pray that you change your attitude to your work. That the energy, the time, the emotions that we are spending on the things that will pass away, we will spend it for eternal glory and for eternal crowns. To serve the King of Glory, the one before whom angels hide their faces, the one who will never fail us. Lord, take away the veil. Take away the veil. Take away the veil, O God, that the service of God will become a joy and will become a priority, O God. We pray for a miracle of transformation in our hearts that will honor the one who has honored us by calling us to his service. In Jesus' name. Amen.
May the Lord bless you. Go and put what you have received in practice.